Luke 6. You could have said that. We're going to spend a couple more, look at a few more scriptures that talk about your imaginations and your thoughts. And then we'll look at the positive side of disowning them. So we stopped at Jeremiah 11. So now we're going to Jeremiah 13.
But we're in Luke 6?
Well, it's the verse in Luke 6 is, but he knew their thoughts. And so we're talking about what the thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 13.
Jeremiah 13?
Yeah. Verse 8. That really makes a difference, doesn't it? All right, verse Jeremiah 10, 13, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imaginations of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. What?
Good for nothing.
Good for nothing. Now, is it possible for you to have a good thought?
No.
Hmm?
Because your thoughts aren't your thoughts.
All right, let's go. We're not going to answer that yet. Let's go to chapter 16 of Jeremiah. Verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place, in your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one of you after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you knew not, neither you nor your fathers, and there shall you serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Now what was their sin?
Self-seeking.
Imagination of the heart.
This was, again, Israel was, at the time of Jeremiah, Israel was the most prominent in the world. It was a rich trading nation because all the trade routes went through there. The temple was built, everything was beautiful, every people were happy. And Jeremiah came along and said, you're screwed up. What you're doing is worse than anything. Now, I believe today we are in a worse place than the people of Jeremiah's time. Because now, a huge percentage of the church is putting God's name on self-seeking. They're justifying and teaching self-seeking in the name of God. Now, I don't think there's ever in history been a time from God's perspective that is more evil than that. Does everybody, do you feel it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
One of the thoughts I had on this is, and if you don't have an imagination of your own heart, you find a pastor who's got one and you follow his imagination. That's what seems like happening in the church.
Yeah. All right. 18. Did we just go to 18? No, chapter 18.
Jeremiah.
Yeah, we're still in Jeremiah. Verse 11. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one of us do the imagination of his evil heart. And therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask you now among the heathen who hath heard such a thing. The virgin of Israel hath done a horrible thing, a very horrible thing. It's not our business what people are doing out there. Our business is what you're doing in here, and the people that hear my voice. There has to be a place, there has to be a time when you begin to understand that everything about your mind is cursed. You can't know that until you've pushed it to the end. You can't know that until you know that not once in your life have your mind or your emotions been your friend. Now, if you don't know that, if you still live in the illusion that your best friend is your mind, then none of this makes any sense. But I would only ask you, that's the same as I do always, following your mind, how has that worked out for you? Hasn't, if you have any integrity at all. If you make your parameters small enough, then you can say, yeah, my mind worked hard. I was a success in many ways. Mr. Bulger was a success. Mr. Buckner was an Olympic contender. And he worked hard to get it. Others worked hard. Now, if you had it and it failed, but you want it back, then it didn't serve its purpose. You understand, the failure didn't serve its purpose because you're building again the things that you've destroyed. So that's what happens. You hear it every day. People go to church, they give their testimony, I was a failure, I was a drug addict, but praise God, he's picked me up, he's cleaned me, and now I'm doing well. That's a lie.
Yes, it is.
But again, if you haven't come to the end of what your mind and your counselors in your mind have to say to you, if you haven't come to an end, if you still like to listen to them, then quickly go do whatever it is that your mind wants you to do. because I believe we have not much time left. I believe we're going to start seeing unbelievable hardships in the United States, and that's just my opinion. In many ways, I believe the only way we'll survive is as a body. If we try to survive as an individual, we won't be able to. But my point to you is, your mind has never once, I promise you, if you have any integrity, your mind has never brought you peace. Your mind is like it can never be satisfied. And if you know that, then you can begin to understand all these years of speaking against your mind. Now, if you can hear it, if you can go to war, if you can cast down these imaginations on every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, if you can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and if you can have a readiness to revenge your disobedience when you see it, then we can continue. That's enough saying that your mind is evil. We could spend 6 months on the scriptures about that. So, now let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Everybody there?
No. What chapter?
Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And the word keep there means it will guard it against this crap that you normally do. You think that there is no way to not think. Huh?
That's what I think.
You still think that? Good. Because the promise is, if you're careful for nothing. Why does it say that? Why does it say be careful for nothing? The reason is because if you want to be careful for something, the slightest thing, then what happens? You become prudent. First of all, prudent is supremely boring. And prudent is one and one is two. That's what prudent means. Prudent means that you can see and have nothing, zero. Prudent means you've structured your life after these parameters. And God, I can't go outside those parameters. I can't go outside the box. Careful for nothing. Nothing. But in everything, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, guard your hearts and your mind. And what? And shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, believe it or not, I kind of live that way of being careful for nothing, and have since the day I became a believer. And it's embarrassing sometimes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen it. You don't have to.
I like to hear about it.
Well, I remember the first time that it was so embarrassing I couldn't even stand it. As you know, 17 days after I became a believer, I was hosting a television show on a Christian television station, co-hosting, all-night programming. All-night was movies, and we had movies all night, and they went all over the country because satellites picked them up or whatever they did. I don't know how they did it back then. But it was at the old Atlantic Building. And so it's late at night, and I do this all night at the movies, and I get on every few minutes, say all you night owls and blah, blah, blah. If you have a need, call these numbers. Sorry, so I'm across the street. It wasn't a 7-Eleven, but it was one of those little convenience stores. So I go over there because I want a snack or something. And I go over there, and there's Playboys and Penthouses sitting right next to it, the counter. And so I picked one of the, I think it was a Penthouse that I picked up. And I laid it in the counter to buy it. And whatever else it was, I forgot now what else I bought. But here I am on the television right behind me talking about God. And here's the clerk looks over at me on the television, looks at me now, looks down at the Playboy. And I took the Playboy and I put it back in.
That's hysterical.
And I said, I'm sorry.
That was a mistake. I thought it was time.
I'm sorry. Oops.
No, that was embarrassing.
That is feeling strength.
That is a great story.
But there's been, you've all seen me do stupid things. What?
We count the times.
But we all do it.
But be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. First of all, that's where it's the fun is.
No, it's the best.
We had it last night in our Bible study.
The moment you're careful, then there comes boredom. Boredom, I promise you, you can never be bored if you always say what's there.
Well, and also, I mean, even when you start to become careful, dishonesty almost comes into play because not everything's being said.
Right. All right, let's go to John 14. So the peace of God is that passes all understanding is the fruit of not thinking.
I saw what I was talking about yesterday. Christ in you doesn't think. He is and worships God. And that's who it is. And that's who he's talking to.
Amen.
And if you catch yourself wound up in thought, then there's the
belief. We've resurrected the evil one.
Right.
Christ doesn't think, he does. He is. He doesn't try to be, he bees. Without thought, because he's connected to the Father. He's prepared the way. It's perfect. It's completed. The way, as long as we get out of the way. But the moment we start being, then we're trying to guide this arrow, because it looks like it's going the wrong direction, like in John's song. But we have an inertial guidance system that's more sure than any of these moon rockets and everything. All we have to do is be careful for nothing. The moment we take it back, the slightest, then we're off course. Now, forgiveness then brings us back on course. That's what the blood of Christ is for. It forgives us for our iniquity as we continue on. But if you continue on in sin, knowing that you're crucifying the Son of God afresh, then you've lost the fear of God, if you ever had it. That's why, you know, love God and have fun. That's the life. He He'll correct. He'll, the Holy Spirit will slap you upside the head more often than you can even dream about. I can tell you stories about that too, but I'm not going to do it today. All right. Verse 27, John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, peace, peace. That's what everybody in the world wants. It's not just peace, it's peace of mind, but you alter your universe. The peace, the emptiness alters it. That's how the disciples turned the world upside down in one generation. Not because they had any talents, but they knew Christ in them was the only hope. So they were careful for nothing. Now, that's your promise. To live there right on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, the first source of all things. But when you resurrect this evil one, you fall from that strong city back into time and space, where you have to rely on yourself again. Some of you have only seen this place from afar. My job as a spy, if you will, is to tell you that it's perfect. It's all love, all peace, all fulfillment. There's no bond or free. There's no Greek or Jew. There's no American or Jew. There's no... because we're a new creation in Him. And that's your right, your heritage. And that's what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That every needful thing will be made unto you. The stupidity of your mind becomes obvious when you look at it from the top down. Look at it from the bottom up. My God, oh man, this is a neat thing. I can do all this stuff in my mind. I have all these fantasies I can visit. You can't do that without leaving, being fallen from the strong city. That's what are you selling your birthright for? What? Anybody?
I got a little vision of John's song about the archer. Obviously, where the arrow is launched by God toward the target. And the launch is great. We're sailing through the air, and then we start thinking, we're way off course here. I better do something. And we try and fix the course, and we're thrown way off course because God's got it all planned out perfectly. Rest, we hit the target. And I can feel that's my tendency when everything is looking, you know, if it's not looking right, then I want to.
Yeah, because you think the Lord has forsaken the earth, therefore you have to lean on your own arm.
You get to stop it, I think. I just think, and that's when it starts.
Right.
And this whole thing we're doing here, the mind and thinking and making adjustments for God.
Now again, I'm not saying don't think. I'm saying take all the parameters off your thinking and find anything that your mind can comprehend that doesn't end in chaos. You're going to have all these, you stop, you know, if you don't expand the ten pegs, as said in the scriptures, to the very edge of time and space itself, then you can have parameters for your thought process, and you make it. You have no integrity when you do that. But you make your parameters, and in that, when you make your parameters small enough, you can prove to yourself anything. But you'll find something. Pretty soon as you grow older, you're making automatically the parameters shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until your only parameters are within what's within your arm's reach. And you see it in old people. If a cup is out of place in their little world, it's as if they had the Third World War. So take the parameters off. Have some integrity. If you think anything is true, test it in every aspect, of every place, of every time, of every circumstance. If it isn't true in every one of those, then it's not true, and it's not worth giving the slightest bit of importance to. Otherwise, you're taking stands for idiocy. Amen? All right, that's enough. Anybody have any other response? Understand perfectly? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Keep. Keep them where? Keep them on the mercy seat. All right, take it, big guy. I don't know that you're going to be able to get there.